The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
If you weren't in the adult Sunday school class this morning, Ethan taught a lesson on Psalm 100. You might, if you've already gotten to Psalm 121, just turn back to Psalm 100. And in a minute I'll read Psalm 121. That's what I'm preaching out of this morning. But we were taught in the adult Sunday school lesson a lesson on, well, if you just read verse 1 of chapter 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And the Bible study, it dealt with making a joyful noise unto the Lord, the what and the why and the how of making a joyful noise and praising the Lord. And I have an outline that I preached out of this text some years ago with regards to singing and with gladness in our hearts. But just real quickly, you notice in verse number 3, in the middle of the verse, it is He that hath made us. So, in other words, we make a joyful noise unto the Lord because of His creation, and we're part of that creation. And in verse number 3, it says, we are His people, so we make a joyful noise because of we've been reconciled to God. And the sheep of His pasture talks about His preservation. He watches over us. And then we emphasized, or Ethan emphasized at the end of his lesson, verse 4, be thankful unto me and bless his name. The be thankful unto me is our appreciation, and the bless his name is that we identification with God. So the whole lesson was with regards to making a joyful noise and singing unto the Lord. And we were reminded of this in the lesson this morning as well, that the Psalms really were the hymn book for the nation of Israel, as well as in the days of the early church. The Psalms were the hymn book. They were meant to be sung. They're poetic in nature. So now go over to my text this morning, Psalm 121, and we're going to read this. But I want you to kind of get this in mind, that the idea of singing this psalm is the Israelites as they're journeying up to Jerusalem. All right, I'm just going to not say any more than that, and I'll say a little bit more as I begin to preach the message. But now let's read this. So imagine them as they're journeying up through the mountains to Jerusalem, and they're singing this. So the psalmist said this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of preaching this morning. I pray that you'd help me as I bring the message. Please use me as your instrument and your vessel to accomplish your purpose for us being here. Pray that you would just help me to gather my thoughts and be able to preach this message in such a way that it'll be a benefit to each and every person that's here, that it'll draw each of us closer to you. And I would ask and pray, Lord, that perhaps there may be someone here today that has never received Christ as their Savior. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction to their heart. They would realize that there's a God in heaven who loves them, a God in heaven who sent His only begotten Son to suffer on an old rugged cross and to die and to pay for each of our sins. Thank you again for this opportunity. Use me now as only you can, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And by the power of His precious blood, amen. Well, it's really a simple message this morning. I am tired, not only from camp, but it was mentioned earlier, I dropped Hannah off in Hartford this morning at 5 o'clock. So it's been a long day for me already, so I thought, well, I'm going to preach a message that I've actually preached before. In fact, the first time I preached this message was in 1999. Boy, that's a long time ago. And I've actually preached it other times as well, but it's a very helpful psalm, and I often think of this psalm when certain things are going on in my own life, and I hope it's a blessing to you as well. But you'll notice this, there's really just 3 points to this psalm that I'm going to give you this morning, or 3 points to the message, and they're all found right in the psalm itself. In fact, I wasn't real original when I put this message together. I used the 3 points that are found here. Number one, I'll give you the 3 points. Number one, we have to recognize that God is my helper. Drew that out of verse number one. We need to recognize, number two, that God is my keeper. And number three, we recognize, for instance, out of Psalm 121, verse 8, that God is my preserver. So verse 5 is thy keeper. So these 3 things this morning, very practical. I want you to see this, and now you can apply it to your lives. So the Israelites, they said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And just as where we live here, if you stand on Main Street in North Adams and you look around, North Adams is surrounded by mountains. Amen? And when you look up, you see the beautiful mountains of the Berkshires and all around us here, Mount Greylock on this side and Florida Mountain on that side. And so we live in a very beautiful area of the country. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Israelites, when you travel to Jerusalem, no matter how you approach the city, you have to climb to get to Jerusalem. When I was in Israel several years ago, we traveled down the Jordan River, and then we traveled where what is known as the West Bank of the Jordan. And so that's actually on the east side of Jerusalem. And then you pass by the city of Jericho. And as you pass by the city of Jericho, you begin to go up the winding roads, and you're climbing, and you're climbing, and you're climbing, and you're climbing. And the day that we entered into Jerusalem, it was dusk. And the sun had just barely set, and you came around a corner, and there was the city of Jerusalem all lit up before you, the old city and the modern city of Jerusalem. And then after we had been there several days, we left on the west side, and you kind of travel down through the mountains, and you head back towards Tel Aviv. And so anyway, you get to Jerusalem, you got to climb up into the mountains. And so understand the Israelites as they are traveling to go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, to go to the tabernacle or go to the temple, that they're climbing and they're looking up. And so the psalmist writes this, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. But he said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Well, the idea is not so much to look at the hills, it is to look what's above the hills, that our help comes from the Lord from heaven above. Amen? And so that's the idea. It was just a reminder that we look to God as our helper. So the psalmist, look at Psalm 125 and verses number 1 and verse number 2. The psalmist said this, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth forever. And so I'm reminded of that, and there's 2 sub-points to my first point. So number one, you and I, we need to recognize that God is our helper. We do that when we're reminded that God sits on the throne, and as a sovereign God, he rules and reigns from a place that we know as heaven. Amen? Are you with me? Amen? Amen. It's good that God's our helper because we all need help. I especially need help this morning for energy. But it's good that God is our helper. And we look to the heavens for our help. We look to the God of heaven for our help. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore boldly come unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, all through life there are things that come into our lives, things that happen, and we just need to go to God for help. Really, we need to go to God for help for everything. I think we make a mistake if there are some things in our life that we think, you know, I really don't need God to help me through this. But we need to understand some things. God desires to help us through everything in life. He desires to help us through the big things. He desires to help us through the little things. And if I could just suggest to you this morning, that when you allow God to help you with the little things, you'll be more prepared for God to help you with the big things. It's all part of just getting into a mindset that God is there and He to help us. He desires to be our helper. And just as it said in verse 2 of Psalm 125, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. Listen, it's good to know that God's before us, God's behind us. God's with us. He's promised in His word that He would never leave us, nor would He forsake us. And so we're mindful of that. He's a friend, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than a brother. So you and I need to remember that in our time of help. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. And so He's there for us constantly. But we've got to recognize that He's there to help us. Whatever the problem is, whatever the difficulty, whatever the challenge, great or small, God is there for you and God is there for me. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him." Before you ask Him. Well, that's very reassuring, isn't it? Long before even the difficulties, the problems, or whatever help you need comes up, God already knows about it. And I think sometimes God is just there waiting for you to say, well, come and ask some help. I mean, if you've ever raised children and you've been doing some project, I don't know, maybe this doesn't happen in your house, but sometimes it happens in my house. So there I am doing something, and I'm kind of struggling with it. And there's one of the kids just standing there watching. How about giving me a hand here? Oh, okay, well, hang on with that. Well, kind of reverses, it's the reverse with God. God is there saying, listen, I'm here to help. Just ask me. Ask. But sometimes I think we're stubborn. We don't ask. We think we can figure it out on our own. We think we can do it on our own. Yet the psalmist reminds us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Listen, you need help to get through every day. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. We all need help to get through every day of our lives, especially so in the world in which we live, in a world that increasingly is contrary, and the ebb and flow of life is contrary to really so much that the Bible teaches us. When you go to work each day, if you want to be the type of employee that God wants you to be, you need His help each and every day. If you want to be the type of father, the type of mother, the grandparent that God wants you to be, you need His help each and every day. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the psalmist said. And he said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills. In other words, he spent time with God. He looked to God. He sought out God for help in his time of prayer. And always remember this. Not only do we look to the place, to the source, to the throne of grace, but the second sub-point to God as my helper is this, that His help is plentiful. You can't exhaust God's help. God's help is it abounds. It is abundant. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says this, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." He's able to do and to help more than we could ever think. More than we could ever comprehend. More than we could ever imagine. "According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end," Paul said, and he finished it with an amen. With an amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Sometimes we, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to fix this? Well, do you stop and say, Lord, I just need your help. I just need your help. I don't know what to do. And it may be that you do know what to do. Oh, I know what to do. But it's not wrong to stop and say, Lord, I still need your help. I still need your guidance. I still need your direction. The Bible commentator Harry Ironside said this, that there is a divine energy which works through poor, feeble creatures as you and me. That's all we are, is poor, feeble creatures. We don't have all the answers. When we think we have all the answers, that's pride, amen? But God says, no, I'm here to be your helper. I'm here to be your helper. Matthew Henry said that there is an inexhaustible fullness of grace and mercy in God, which the prayers of the saints can never draw dry. Whatever we ask or think to ask, still God is able to do more than we ever thought possible. So we saw that video. I'm still amazed. When my daughter went to Papua New Guinea, I am just amazed. She raised over $4,000 to go to Papua New Guinea. I heard her at camp. Some young ladies came up to her, and they were asking her about the trip. And they were asking her, and they had an interest. These were college age or going to college age girls. They were asking her about the trip and some of the details and how it all worked out. So I just listened to her as she explained how God opened doors and God did this. God did that. God did this. And she was just impressing upon those girls how she understood that God was her helper through it all and made it all happen. And she certainly depended upon all your prayers and your generosity. That's how God helps sometimes, doesn't he? He helps not only, he helps indirectly, or I don't know if you'd even use the word indirectly, but he just helps through people. And you and I can be used of God to be a helper to someone else, or we can be that helper to someone else. It's just God that uses people. So we recognize that. Whatever the situation is, whatever the struggle is, whatever the difficulty, whatever you're dealing with right now, you just go to God and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And by the way, I'm not saying that in a moment, in an instant, in a day, or in a week, whatever you're dealing with will be done with. Sometimes God allows us to go through certain things, and these things may take time. But all through it all, God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'll be with you each and every step of the way, and I'll help you. So the Israelites understood that. The psalmist understood that. You and I need to understand that. Secondly, the psalmist understood in verses 3 and 4 that God was his keeper. Look at these two verses again. The psalmist said, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Listen, God is ever watchful over all of us. He's ever watchful over you and over me. He's ever aware of everything that's going on in your life. Always. He's not asleep. He doesn't take a nap. We were joking, some of the counselors, at the end of camp, they have awards. And then they recognize, they recognize the counselors, they recognize the kitchen staff, they recognize the sports guys, they recognize the lifeguards, they recognize the guest speakers. And so I turned to talk with my friend Bruce Patterson, who's actually a little bit older than me, and I said, yeah, they would recognize us, and they'd give us the award for the best nappers at camp. And Brother Taylor, he's always honest as counselors. He says, you know, you guys got to be aware when you're in the cabin of what's going on. Well, one of the reasons a few years ago that he switched me from being a junior high, and sometimes I was a senior high counselor, they go to bed later than the juniors. He switched me from them down to the juniors because the last couple of years I'd fall asleep before the counselors fell asleep. That's not a good thing. You're supposed to be awake and watch over them, make sure you know what's going on. But God's never asleep. God's always awake. He's always watching us. He's always aware of what we need. But by the way, we've got an adversary that's always awake as well. We've got an enemy that's always awake. There's nowhere in the Bible that teaches us that our enemy, our adversary, Satan, takes a nap. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Or in Job chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? From going to and fro in the earth and from walking down in it?" That's what Satan does. He comes to and fro throughout the earth, walking up and down in it. The psalmist understood, he recognized that God was ever watching over him and that he could always depend upon the Lord. He could always go to the Lord, that the Lord's ears were always open and his eyes were always open. That the Lord would protect him. Notice what it said in verse number 5. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The idea is that the Lord would be our protector. You know, take your Bibles, and we'll come back here in just a minute, but go over to 2 Chronicles. I want you to see an example of someone who forgot that the Lord was his helper and someone who forgot that the Lord was his keeper, his protector. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Second Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Let me just stop there real quick. So if you remember what has happened now, Israel is split in two. Judah to the south and Israel to the north. The Israelites are now involved in a false worship, the worshiping of golden calves. And so the king of Israel does not want the Israelites to be traveling back and forth. He's trying to prevent that. He's trying to prevent them from defecting to Judah. So he said again at the end of verse number 1, "Let none go out or come in to Asa, the king of Judah." Then Asa brought out silver and gold of the treasures of the house of the Lord, of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the city of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abelmaim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Ben-Hasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. In other words, let me just stop there for a minute. Asa came up with a short-term solution. But this really wasn't God's solution. He didn't turn to God for help. He turned to the Syrian for help. It's really a picture of turning to the world for help. Well, look what happens in verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with great with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou relied on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. And he said, when you had some issues with these people, you depended upon God, you went to God, and God answered your prayer. He was your helper, and he was your keeper. Look at verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's never slumbering. He's never sleeping. He's always aware. He's ever watchful. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. He says, don't you understand that the reason God wants to help you? Don't you understand the reason God wants to help, to keep you, to protect you? Is God wants to show himself strong in your life? Doesn't God allow things to come into our life? So we need to call upon him for help because he wants us to observe. He wants us to see him working in and through our faith. Don't you understand, he says, that this is why God does that? So that you can understand just how good and how great and how merciful God is? You've done foolishly, he said. Might have been a short-term solution, but short-term solutions when you leave God out are foolish solutions. And look what happened. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Now you're going to have to deal with the consequences. So that's why I say it's so important, whether it's in the little things or whether it's in the big things, you get into the habit of asking God's help. Because you might think, well, I can figure this out on my own, and it may be a short-term solution, but there are always consequences if the solutions are not God's solutions. And that's what happened to Asa. But now look what happens, and this happens to you and I sometimes, because it's not done yet. Look at verse 10. Then Asa was wroth. He becomes angry. He becomes angry at God. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, who's God's spokesman. And he puts him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. Like, how dare you tell me that what I decided, what I thought, what my plan was not right, was wrong. Now, you and I might not say that like that, but sometimes in our heart we feel that way. And really, if we would just take a step back, we might just say, did I go to God for help about this? Did I really think this through with God's help and God's protection? Then Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Now look how it ends for Asa in verse 12. And Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He never ever learned his lesson. So let's not be like Asa. Let's recognize God's our helper, and let's recognize that God is our keeper, that he's our protector, and that he gives us personal attention. You understand that? You ever go to the doctor and you want to see the doctor? This happens more often now than not. And so you make an appointment, you go to see the doctor. Now they don't do it as much, they tell you, but they say, now you'll see the personal the physician's assistant. Now whenever you go, they say, well, you can see the doctor or you can see the physician's assistant. Well, it used to be you'd go and you'd just be waiting for your doctor and the physician's assistant would come in. No, I want to see the doctor. Now, that's not to take away from people who are physician's assistants. I'm sure that they're well-trained and they've done all their schoolwork, but you know, it would be, at least we hope so, amen. But you understand what I'm saying? If you make an appointment and you want to see a specific person and then somebody else shows up, it's like going to the barber. Barbershop we go to has three barbers. And they watch my videos sometimes. They're all great guys. But I want one particular barber not to cut my hair. I'll leave it at that. Here's the point. When we go to God, we see Him personally. I like, some of you missed this. This was really good. Ethan was talking about this in the Sunday school class. He was talking about a Baptist distinctive that was taught at camp, the priesthood of the believer. The idea that you and I can go right to God. And he was talking about during the times of the Reformation. Now, listen, believers believed this long before the Reformation. But because Baptists existed long before the Reformation. But he was talking about the idea that when they began to evangelize and preach, and people who were taught that you had to go to the priest to confess your sin, that you could go directly to God. It was like, wow, really? We can go directly to God now? And people became excited about that. For their whole life they were taught that, no, they couldn't go directly to God. And you and I, we just take it for granted that we have access to the throne of grace. We shouldn't take it for granted. But we go to God Himself, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, the Creator, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have personal attention. God doesn't say, well, I'm a little bit too busy for this guy over here. Or I don't really have time for this kid over here. Or this gal. God is an omnipresent God. He's an omniscient God. He's all-knowing. He's an omnipotent God. He's all-powerful. We need to be mindful of that. But lastly, verses 7 and 8, and go back to our text in Psalm 121. So God is our helper. Don't ever forget that. God is our keeper. The psalmist reminds us, don't forget that. Don't be like Asa, who got angry with God and just wouldn't go back to God and look to God for help. But lastly, in verses 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Jude 24 says this, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We find our preservation in the Lord himself. And he's promised to be our helper, a very present time help in a time of trouble, in a time of need. He preserves us. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We are preserved in Christ Jesus. And as you and I, we go to the Lord for help, we understand he's our keeper. He'll guide us. He'll lead us. The model prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is able, who will with the temptation make a way for you to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We're preserved in him. He watches over us. He keeps us. He helps us. You and I, from this time forth, forevermore, forevermore. God and God alone is able. God and God alone keeps our steps and preserves us. And so the Israelites, as they would travel up to Jerusalem, they would sing not only this psalm, but other psalms. They would be reminding themselves that God had helped them. They would be reminding themselves that God keeps them. They'd be reminding themselves that God was their preservation. And so you and I the same. Let's not forget that. Look at chapter 20. Look at Psalm 124 and verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Look at verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Listen, it's so much throughout the Psalms that we see this. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 123. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he hath mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Look to the Lord for your help each and every day. Lift up your eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, if you're here, the greatest help that you need is the help of being saved. It's exciting at camp to see many teenagers, many young people make decisions for Christ. I'm not sure how many came to know the Lord, but I know in my cabin, two young boys received Christ as their Savior this week. One of them had been coming to camp as the third, I guess the, at least the second year had been in my cabin. And I remember talking with him last year, and he was really not clear. But this year he went forward in a church service at camp and talked with a counselor afterwards and gave a clear testimony of receiving Christ. Another little boy told me on the last night that we were there that during cabin devotions one night, he asked Christ to be his Savior. Some came to know the Lord one-on-one. Some in church services. It was exciting to see that. And maybe you're here and you've never received Christ. Listen, Jesus came to die and pay for your sins on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. He died and he paid for your sin. Without him, you and I have no hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. But I'd like to be sure. I'd like to be saved. If that's you, would you do this morning? No one's looking around. I won't call out your name. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But would you just slip up your hand by the upraised hand? You're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm a Christian this morning. Anyone at all? Believer, brother and sister in Christ, what are you going through right now? What's the struggle? What's the battle? Big or small? The Lord's your helper. Have you sought his help? Have you asked for his help? Do you start each day by asking for his help to get through the day? You don't know what a day will bring, do you? Maybe in the quietness of the moment you could say, you know, Lord, I really don't do that, but I want you to remind me each day to come to you for help and ask you to help me through the day. For you to be my keeper, to protect me, to watch over me, and to preserve me. Father, we ask your blessing now as we sing this invitation. Speak to each heart as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.